Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Special Edition, a weekly look at the issues in the news and the personalities shaping the stories.
Thanks for joining me on Special Edition. I'm Paula Degnan. This week, we're going to find out about September being Polycystic Kidney Disease Awareness Month. We'll find out about symptoms, who may be at risk, and treatments. Also, cases of the flu are already being reported. Flu shots are available. We'll find out why it's important to get one. We're also going to hear about a scam that's really making a resurgence, especially in our area. It's called the loved one scam. We'll have the details on how you won't fall victim. We'll also get the details on an event coming up next Saturday. It's the Scranton Walk and Roll for the GBS CIDP Foundation International. We'll tell you where and when. And starting us off today on Special Edition, Kathleen Smith is here with all the details about an event coming up to benefit a local historical project with the Shawnee Fort Chapter in SDAR. Kathleen, welcome. It's been a while since we've caught up with you. And first of all, can you give us an overview of the Shawnee Fort Chapter of the NSDAR? What are you up to?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It's always great to talk to you. I appreciate you having me on. Shawnee Fort organized in November of 2009 in Plymouth, Pennsylvania, along with the objectives of the National Society, National Society Daughters of the American Revolution. It's patriotism, education, and historic preservation. So we always try to do something with those. Along with that, we do veterans. We took a good break with COVID, of course, but now we're getting back into it, back into the swing of things. And we have a project coming up. We're so excited about it. We came across this in June of 2020, totally by accident. I was researching, I didn't even remember what, on newspapers.com. And I came across this newspaper article, this interview from this woman who was like 101, 102 years old, doing an interview about her father, about how he was a conductor on the Underground Railroad, locally in Wilkes-Barre. Now, I know a lot of people, we've all heard stories, we've all heard rumors, and there's never really been anything to substantiate it or prove it. So when we read this article, it gave firsthand accounts, because she was born in the 1830s. So when he was running slaves, runaway slaves in the 1850s, in violation of the Fugitive Slave Act, she was well old enough to remember and know the dangers, know what was going on. The bigger danger was this family was, this black, they were African American. He was a free man who was born, according to the census records, in 1800 in Maryland. And he was living here since, I think, the 1830s. That's about what I was able to determine with the census records. But they lived here in Wilkes-Barre, not far from right into McDonald's Arnell. And he would smuggle them. He would leave town on a wagon filled with hay, go out of town toward Hazleton, bring the slaves back into Wilkes-Barre, hide them in his basement. Again, according to her, hide them in his basement. And then however often, however long they would hide them, I don't know, then he would smuggle them out of town and meet up with Gildersleeve, who would then take them on to Montrose and probably onward toward Canada, I would imagine.
So all this was part of the Underground Railroad?
Yes, it was a part of the Underground Railroad. And the house is no longer standing, but like I said, it was right there. We've all been in that area. It's hard to even imagine things like this going on back then.
And now this man, whose name is what?
Henry Brown.
And he was involved in all of this way back when. And where is he now?
He's buried in the Wilkes-Barre City Cemetery near the fence that separates Wilkes-Barre City Cemetery from Hollenbeck.
And through your research, you were able to find that out as well?
Well, the wonderful thing is Wilkes-Barre City Cemetery, their maps and records are online, which, thank goodness, because it would have been an impossible task. And I want to thank Joan Kavanaugh. She's very big into preserving the cemetery and keeping it up and getting the junk out of there, out of the Wilkes-Barre City Cemetery. She was instrumental in helping me find Henry, exactly where he is. I knew where he was, kind of, but she helped me find his exact grave.
And now the woman, was that a relative of his?
The woman who did the interview in the paper was his daughter, Isabella Brown. She was born in the 1830s. I believe she's in Oaklawn, if I'm not mistaken. I might be wrong on that.
All of this happened here, way back when, and now what are you trying to do in order to honor the memory of Henry Brown?
We are trying to raise money to get a tombstone, if you will, because he has nothing to mark his grave. There's nothing at all. We're trying to get a marker to honor, to remember him and mark his grave and have a little bit of what he did on the stone. Not just Henry Brown, 1800 to 1884. We wanted to have some of the story so people can go up and say, oh, wow, look at this. Look what this guy did. I mean, I can't even imagine what he and the family went through. According to the daughter in the interview, her mother, Henry's wife, would keep water boiling on the stove 24/7 in case the slave owners found them in the house so that she could basically fend them off. I cannot even imagine living like that.
She would throw the water at them?
As far as I know, she never needed to, but it was there at the ready just in case.
And all of this came out in your research?
All of this, a lot of this was in the interview in the paper, in the Wilkes-Barre paper, or 1939 is when she was interviewed.
And that was what, the Wilkes-Barre Record?
I believe so. I believe it was the Wilkes-Barre Record.
That is amazing. So now, what can we do in order to help you give this man the credit that he deserves?
We are hosting a fundraiser at Radano's on October 9th from 1 to 4 p.m. We're also looking for any monetary donations toward the stone. Of course, you know, anything would be appreciated. Nothing is too small. The fundraiser is going to be from 1 to 4 at Radano's on the 9th, October 9th, and it's $25 in advance or $30 at the door. And that would give you all the stromboli and pizza that you can eat and tap beer and soda. So all that's included in the $25 or $30.
And something tells me you're also going to have raffles and all kinds of other things too?
We will have raffles. We've been very, very blessed and we're very grateful to the community, the businesses. We have a lot of businesses that are more than eager. They're gift cards, baskets, swag bag things. I mean, they've really come together for us.
And this isn't the first time that you, because I know the last time we talked, we were talking about Reads Across America. So this isn't the first time that your chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution have been involved in saving history.
No, you're right. You're right. We the last time we did a fundraiser at Radano's was several years ago for the Zebulon Butler House in Wilkes-Barre, the oldest house in Wilkes-Barre. And we're actually working with the Wilkes-Barre Preservation Society for this Henry Brown project as well. And we're also working with the City Cemetery Committee, which is fairly new. But yeah, we do Reads Across America every year. That's in December, and we do collect things for veterans. We used to do the bingos, but that stopped with COVID, of course. We used to do bingo, collect things for their, to hand out for Christmas gifts for them, you know, hats, gloves, whatever they would need, things like that, toiletry items. We mark graves. We do cemetery cleanups. All year round, we're doing something.
And how would one get involved with the Daughters of the American Revolution?
They can gladly call me. I mean, if you're not eligible to join, which we would love to have people join, we would love to have you help us and join us in some of these activities. My number is 570-704-9809. You can call for information on the fundraiser or membership or how to help us throughout the year, advance tickets for the fundraiser, of course, or just more information. We do have a Facebook page. It's Shawnee Fort Chapter NSDAR. It's a public page on Facebook. You can message us through there as well.
And you also have all the information about the upcoming Henry Brown fundraiser on that Facebook page.
We do. We do. And on there, we have in the discussion section of the event, we have photos and information of what we have available for raffle items so far. When the businesses donate, I make sure I put it on there and I thank them for it because it's the least we could do for their assistance.
That's amazing. And how you find all this information is, and you just found this by accident?
Yeah, by accident. I don't even remember what I was researching, but I just came across it. And I mean, you see something like Underground Railroad or something like that. And of course, the historian in me, of course, has to stop and say, oh, what's that? So of course I read it and I said, oh my God, this is great. We should do something. But then, you know, we put it on the back burner because of COVID. The idea was to do it 2 years ago. But of course, getting people together for fundraisers, it just wasn't happening back then. So
let me ask you, Kathleen, I'm sure that there's probably more to the story. And one of the things you're looking for are family members?
If we could, yes. We're looking for any descendants of Henry Brown or Moses Morris. Moses Morris married Henry's daughter, Sarah. And Moses, I mean, I know him by name, but he was in the 54th Massachusetts, better known as the Glory Regiment from the movie Glory. He and one or two others in Wilkes-Barre City Cemetery actually served in the 54th. I don't know if they had any children. It's so hard to track them because the records are just sparse. But we would love to have family members of these people there because they should be honored and recognized as well. Not just what Henry did, but his son-in-law, as well as one or two others, like I said, were in this, the 54th Glory Regiment, like in the movie that starred Matthew Broderick. This man really deserves recognition because, like I said, I can't even imagine. He put his life and his family's life in danger every single day. It was bad enough that they were harboring slaves, but to be a black man with a family, they really put their lives on the line for this. And we don't know how many he saved. We don't know because there were no records, of course, because keeping records was dangerous. But we do know in the interview that he did work with Gildersleeve, and this is her account of what happened. So we want to make sure he's honored and remembered for that.
Kathleen, if you wouldn't mind one more time, give our listeners the where, the when, and all that information so that they can help you honor this man. And it's hard to believe the Underground Railroad went right through Wilkes-Barre.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. So the deadline for pre-sale tickets for the fundraiser is September 25th. You know, give me a call. I can, you know, when it gets too close, I can pick up the check, whatever. It's Redondo's October 9th from 1 to 4. There's also tickets at the door for $30. Advanced tickets are $25. You can also call us and give us a donation toward the stone. If you have an item you'd like to have raffled off, we would appreciate that. We call and I can meet you to grab it then. Whatever anyone is willing to do, however they're able to help, we would appreciate anything.
That's Kathleen Smith, the regent of the Shawnee Fort Chapter, NSDAR, National Society, Daughters of the American Revolution. If you would like to find out more about how you could help, log on to their Facebook page, Henry Brown Fundraiser. When we come back, there's the Scranton Walk and Roll set for Saturday, and we'll have the details on Special Edition. Welcome back to Special Edition. Coming up next Saturday, it's the Scranton Walk and Roll. Mary Kay Egan and Devin Gerber Lagonis are here to tell you all about it. It's to benefit the GBS CIDP Foundation International. Devin tells us what that is.
So the foundation, essentially, their mission is to improve the lives of those affected with these conditions through support programs, education, funding, research, and advocating legislation that affects this community. So the foundation currently has 40,000 plus members, and they've given over $6 million to research since 2003. And the GBS CIDP Foundation International currently has over 180 chapters worldwide.
Can you give us a little bit of the background of GBS and CIDP, exactly what kind of conditions they are?
Of course. I am happy to talk about Guillain-Barré syndrome, and then Mary Kay, she's going to cover the CIDP part of things. GBS stands for Guillain-Barré syndrome. It's an inflammatory autoimmune disorder of the peripheral nerves outside of the brain and spinal cord. It affects 2 in 100,000 worldwide. The syndrome is characterized by the rapid onset of numbness, weakness, and often paralysis of the legs, arms, breathing muscles, and face. It presents itself very quickly, and the recovery time varies, typically between 6 months to 2 years, and many patients end up having residual effects.
Well, let's get Mary Kay in on the discussion here today. And Mary Kay, welcome. Nice to have you here with us as well. Tell us a little bit about CIDP. First of all, what does that stand for?
Chronic inflammatory demyelinating polyneuropathy. And it's also a condition that is caused by the peripheral nervous system, and it attacks the myelin, that's the nerve covering of your nerves. And it's not as acute as GBS. It comes on a little bit more gradually, but it's weakness, neuropathy, atrophy, and twitching. And it can last for 2 years, or you can have it for the rest of your life with relapses. I'm currently diagnosed with a progressive form of it, so I will probably need treatment for the rest of my life. My treatment is intravenous immunoglobulin, and it's a plasma that has the antibodies to stop my immune system from attacking the myelin.
How did you know that that's what was going on when you went and said, "What's going on with me?"
It took about 2 months, and finally I was referred to a neurologist, and I was given an EMG test, electromyography, and he determined that I had CIDP and started me with the infusion treatment.
Let's go back over to Devin, and how would someone know that they have GBS?
My mom actually had 2 battles with GBS. Her first time was in 2011. The first time it came on exactly like a textbook, she actually had a cold. And what happens sometimes is after with the cold, instead of the cold attacking your immune system, it actually attacked her whole nervous system. And how that comes on is the paralysis starts in your ankles and moves all the way up your body. She wasn't feeling well one night. My mom went to sleep. She woke up the next morning and was completely paralyzed. As soon as we took her to the hospital, once we described her symptoms and what she was facing, they knew it was Guillain-Barré just because of how it came on, basically textbook described. The second time she got GBS in 2019, it was kind of like the same but different in the sense of she had shakiness, some paralysis, and trouble walking. They actually did not find out exactly what it was until after she passed away, and we performed an autopsy back in 2019 that it was a very acute and rare form of Guillain-Barré syndrome, kind of like a really rare strain. Because it came on so differently, they weren't able to immediately pinpoint that.
And when something like that does come on, what does someone normally think? That it's just a cold, as you kind of mentioned there?
Yeah, so my mom had a cold and was actually on the other end of it and was feeling better. And then the day before that paralysis started, she had a little bit of kind of pins and needles in her ankles and hands and really thought nothing of it and had no idea what was going on, which can definitely be extremely scary. And then to wake up and not being able to move, being a family member who's seeing someone like that, it's very hard to believe that someone was walking one day and completely paralyzed the next. It's very, one, scary, and two, it's so rare that it's just hard to come by. So it increases that kind of fear in you that you have no idea what's going on with your body. And if that can move from your ankles up to your respiratory system and you don't get it treated quick enough or cared for, it can result in death.
Mary Kay, on your end, what were your symptoms that made you go to the physician and say, "I think there's something going on here"?
I gradually lost use over a 2-week period of my hands, my arms, and my legs. My husband had to help me with every function of life. Well, I went to the hospital. It was during COVID. And initially, they didn't diagnose me at the hospital. They wanted to put me into rehabilitation. And I was leery because of COVID. And my husband was able to bring me home I couldn't walk. I couldn't feed myself. I had difficulty swallowing. I lost a ton of muscle mass and weight. And it was also painful. You couldn't use your hands or your feet, but the wrong touch would just be very painful.
It almost sounded, did you think you were having a stroke?
They thought that initially, and they ran all those tests, and they said, no, there was no symptoms. There was nothing in the MRI that said stroke. And like I said, it wasn't until 2 months later when I finally got the referral to a neurologist that I got diagnosed.
And then after the diagnosis, did you find out that this is something that other people in the area are also dealing with, or was this something that is very rare?
It's very rare. It just so happens that Devin's father is friends with my uncle. So my uncle was familiar with Devin's story. And so that was the only person I knew who had anything like it.
Devin?
Yes, completely rare. I would say in 2011, we knew no one in the area. So what happened, my mom went through similar treatment that Mary Kay went through. She went through 5 days of that IVIG plasma treatment. Then she went to Allied for full rehabilitation, learning how to eat, comb her hair, walk again. She had almost basically like a 90% recovery. She had some trouble with her hands after that time. And same thing in 2019, my mom was in the Scranton area. She ended up getting life-flighted to the University of Pennsylvania, and really no one knew what was wrong. And same with it in that area in between Scranton and Philadelphia. It's just extremely rare.
Was there any kind of indication for either of your situations that it was environmental, that it was hereditary, or is it that rare that they really don't know?
I've done some genetic testing, and they've only found connections to my lupus diagnosis, but they couldn't find anything genetically what caused the CIDP. And I've heard everything. Someone asked me if I ate bad chicken. I don't know what really brings it on, and it's that rare. That's why we have an extreme need for research.
And let's talk a little bit about research, because the foundation, that is one of the things, and I have to say, I'm on their website, which is gbs-cidp.org, and there's all kinds of information here. So tell us a little bit about research and clinical trials. They're happening right now?
Yeah, I would say that they're definitely ongoing and happening right now. I know that after my mom passed, they asked us if they were able to do research on her case for that specific reason. So the GBS CIDP Foundation International, they do clinical trials, research, and then again, raising money to fund those resources as well.
And Mary Kay, from your end, have you been involved in any of those things so far?
No, I haven't. I haven't been approached, and I haven't been involved in any research studies.
And I have to say, Mary Kay, it must be a very scary situation when you're in that and you don't know where it came from. So how have you been dealing with all of this?
I maintain a physical therapy and occupational therapy schedule that when I was released from therapy, I do that every day. I'm back to walking up and down my block, usually with my cane. I'm hoping to do the walk without the cane, and just basically with the continued support of my family and friends.
I think that's wonderful. And Devin, I have been remiss. I did not offer you condolences on your mom, because, again, it's a tough thing to go through, especially when it's something that is long term. And you really don't know where it came from, and in your case, they haven't said anything about heredity, or is there anything that they have you watching for now?
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Nothing hereditary. I've been to the doctor and I've expressed my concerns, but as Mary Kay said, there's really nothing to prove back to hereditary. They really think that my mom's story was really from that initial cold that attacked her nervous system instead of her immune system to fight off that cold. Definitely something like I'm very weary about, of course, but yeah, nothing really has brought back anything to show that research.
Mary Kay, you mentioned, I want to do the walk without my cane. What walk? What's coming up?
the walk and roll on September 17th at Lackawanna Courthouse.
Tell us about that. September 17th at Lackawanna County Courthouse Square. The what? The walk and roll?
The walk and roll. We're trying to raise funds and raise awareness about GBS and CIDP. We're encouraging anybody affected to come out. We're going to have breakfast sandwiches available, fruit cup, live entertainment from 10 to noon, and just educate yourself about this so you're aware if it happens to yourself or a loved one.
Devin?
Of course, just go off what Mary Kay said. A little bit about why it's called walk and roll is because a lot of patients are still in wheelchairs. So walking or rolling, it's not really one of those kind of 5Ks or races. It's more to network and to meet people affected because it's so rare and create a community within the Scranton area of people who have been affected by either GBS or CIDP. It's just going to be a walk around Courthouse Square. In addition, we'll have raffle baskets, and we're really looking forward to a great turnout to meet people in the area who have been affected one way or another.
When we're talking about this as well, and you both mentioned that you're trying to bring people together, are there support groups that you know of here in Northeast Pennsylvania?
Not to my knowledge. Yeah, not to my knowledge either. I think the closest GBS CIDP chapter would be probably Conshohocken, Pennsylvania. So I think if we can get something like that in the Scranton area, it would be amazing.
Well, there we go, ladies. I think that's the one thing that when all of this happens coming up in September, that you two are there at the table and saying, hey, let's all get together and have coffee or lunch or sit down and talk. You ready for that?
Of course.
If anybody has any questions, how would they get in touch with somebody in order? As I mentioned, the website, of course, but are there anybody local that we'd be able to get in touch with?
Yes, they can be in touch with myself or Mary Kay. Also, if you go to gbs-cidp.org/walk, that will give more information about the Scranton walk and roll specifically. Registration is at 9 a.m. and the walk begins at 10 a.m. at Lackawanna County Courthouse Square.
Mary Kay?
Feel free to reach out to me. You can contact me via email, Egan@marykay.com.
Anything that maybe I haven't talked about that either one of you would like to make sure that our listeners know?
I think overall, I would say I would love people to know that you are not alone, and really, I'm happy to connect with people. I know Mary Kay is as well, and to really connect with the Foundation International. They are great people there. They're always looking to help, and they really want to connect with as many people as possible just to bring more awareness to these diseases.
Mary Kay?
I'd say connect to the Foundation and see what support they could offer.
Give us the invitation again to the walk coming up in September.
So the Scranton 2022 walk and roll will take place on Saturday, September 17th at Lackawanna Courthouse Square in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Registration is at 9 a.m. and the walk begins at 10 a.m. All proceeds from the walk and roll program will go directly towards the foundation to support their research and grant program.
See you next Saturday in downtown Scranton. Now don't go away. Next, scams, flu, and polycystic kidney disease on Special Edition.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
In this segment of Special Edition, find out about polycystic kidney disease, the flu season, and start off with Pennsylvania State Police Trooper Anthony Petrosky with Troop P. Hazelton on the loved one scam. Trooper Anthony Petrosky, let's find out about these scams. These scammers are all over the place, and this one usually deals with someone you love. What is it?
Yeah, so this scam that's currently affecting a lot of people in our area is called the loved one scam. And essentially what these scammers will do is they'll contact you by phone and explain that a loved one is in trouble. Now, when I say loved one, it's typically a grandchild. Okay, because, you know, these scammers like to target senior citizens because they're more trusting. And whenever you say the word grandchild, grandparents already have the checkbook out. They're already saying, what address do I send it to? Because that's how grandparents are. They love their grandkids. So what they do is they'll say, your grandson, your granddaughter, they're in trouble. They're currently in jail. At this point, they might even say specific names. Now, with that being said, people think, well, they said my grandson's name. They said my granddaughter's name. It had to be legit. Well, you know, you could do an easy Google search on the internet and find a lot of information. Or you could go on social media and look at people and you could see names posted. So it really is easy to gather this information. Then what they'll do is they'll say, you know, don't talk to anybody about this. It's embarrassing to your family. You know, don't talk to anybody. And then they're going to say, listen, if you give us cash, we'll be able to release your grandson or granddaughter today. But we need a good address where we could pick this cash up. And then these scammers will send a courier to that address to pick up the cash, and you will never hear from them again.
Wow, that's really involved, because they must do a lot of research. And again, as you said, all that information is available.
It is, and we're the ones putting it out there. See, people, you know, if you have a social media account, and that's great, but it should be private. It should not be a public account, meaning only people you accept should be able to see your content. Not just anybody. And, you know, it's easy to find this stuff, especially when you do a Google search. You could come up with people's social media profiles, and then you just click on them. And now you can call, already seeming like you have accurate information on them or their loved one, which is why people are falling victim to this.
All right. So someone gets the call. Probably the first thing you would say is just hang up. But are there things that people should listen for just to make sure that they feel comfortable hanging up?
Well, you know what? If it's important, if it's legitimate, you'd probably receive a call from a loved one, not just some random person. And on top of that, we don't release people from jails for cash to be picked up at another location. If you're going to get released from a jail, it's through a bondsman. It's through posting bond. It's not just picking up cash at somebody's house. And more importantly, do your due diligence. Contact a friend or a family member that knows. Say, hey, I just got this call. They said my grandson's name specific. Is everything okay with him? You know, I just want to check because they're asking for money. Do your due diligence. Don't be so quick to give out money. If it sounds like a scam, it probably is. trust your instincts.
And those gift cards, sometimes they ask for those.
They do. And the reason why scammers ask for gift cards is because they're not traceable. If somebody steals your credit card and they go and use it somewhere, that could be traced by the credit card company and law enforcement. We could get that information. But if you pay somebody with a gift card, that's non-traceable. So wherever you go and use that, or if you sell it on the street and somebody uses it, we cannot trace that, nor can the gift card company. So anything that's paid with a gift card is automatically a scam. Again, don't entertain these people. You have better things to do with your time. This, unfortunately, is not going to go away anytime soon because people are giving into this, and these scammers are making a lot of money by doing this.
And also, it's not just over the phone. They're even coming through email.
Email, yes. And it's very easy to do a Google search, pick a bank or a certain company, and copy that image, paste it onto an email, and then send it to make it look official. Now, one way to check to see where the email actually came from is where it says to and from. So in the email, you'll see from. And what happens is if you actually click on that, it might say a name or a company, but if you actually click on that, it will bring up the email address it was sent from. So if they claim to be from a company, that email should be specific to that company. But if you click on it and it's maybe a Gmail or a different name, more than likely it's a scam. Don't respond. Don't open any attachments. Just delete it.
All right. Once again, give us the details, Trooper Petrosky. Make sure that we know exactly what we're listening for, what we're hearing for, and if we do get a question, what we should not do, especially if it's personal.
Yes, first things first, check with friends or family to make sure that your grandson or granddaughter is okay and they're not in any danger. Number two, we don't release people from jail with a box of money to be picked up at your house or at a different location. Number three, don't give out any kind of personal information. Don't give an address. Don't say, let me go to the bank and get money. Any sensitive information, don't give out. They're just going to use that against you. They're going to hold it over your head and act like they have all of the answers when really you're providing them. Hang the phone up, contact a friend or a family member, and don't be so quick to give away your hard-earned money.
It's flu season. Dawn Webster, Advanced Practice Clinician Director with MedExpress, has the details. Dawn Webster's here, always has some great advice. What's our topic today, Dawn?
We're going to be talking about the flu season.
Oh, no! So already, flu shots are out, correct?
They are. Yes, they are.
And what do we do as far as that's concerned now? Because again, we've gone through so many shots and so many different things. So what are the things to do for the flu?
As always, the best way to reduce your risk from getting the seasonal flu or having a serious complication of the seasonal flu is to get vaccinated every year. Every year the vaccines change, and it really is a good idea, especially if you are in the elderly or immunocompromised population, to get that flu shot every single year.
And when it comes to getting flu shots, it's more available now, correct? It's not just going to the doctor's office.
Correct. You can get it at pharmacies, pretty much any Walmart, Target, any of those stores that have a pharmacy, they can give you them now.
And what do we need to look for when it comes to flu shots? Because again, so many people say, I got a flu shot and I got the flu. True? False?
That is not true. People can have a mild immune reaction when they get the flu shot, because essentially it's doing what it needs to. It's making your body fight off what we injected into it. So you can feel a little run down, maybe a little achy, a little tired, but it doesn't actually give you the flu. And to be honest, the most common side effect is just a sore red arm. So, very minor, and it typically only lasts for a day or two.
And what are the criteria for a flu shot? Anyone can get it, ages get it, different ones for different ages. Because we've been exposed to so many different calls to go get shots, how does this one fit into all that?
Yes, so there are multiple different vaccines, and it is age dependent. So if you have a baby, most pharmacies will not give the flu shot to anyone under either 6 months or 1 year of age, depending on the flu shot that they carry. So if you do have a baby or a younger child, it is best to get it from their pediatrician because they have those ones in stock and available. Most young, healthy adults can essentially get any of them. And then the elderly will also typically get a different one. Sometimes they'll get the one that has more than the three normal strains just to give them some extra protection.
So how would you know which one you're getting, or can you go in and ask for one?
Yeah, sure. So you can absolutely ask for one. Now, when the vaccines get sent to the pharmacies, to the doctor's offices, they come with recommendations. So, you know, we recommend this one for this population. We recommend this one for this population, or this one can't be given to children under the age of one. So essentially, when you go in, when they take your information, they're going to give you the one that is for your demographic.
And are all of the flu shots shots? Because wasn't there also a discussion about a nasal type?
There was. So they haven't had those, I believe, for a couple years now. At least we haven't offered them at MedExpress. And I'm not sure if they have the nasal vaccine this year or not. I have not seen it yet.
So when you go in for your flu shot, well, obviously, hopefully your doctor would know, but would the pharmacy know? And is there a chance of anything in the flu shot that might cause a allergic reaction? Because wasn't there a discussion not too many years ago about eggs in flu shots?
Yes. So if you have an anaphylactic reaction to eggs, then there are certain flu shots you should not get. Now, again, you know, every flu manufacturer is going to label what is in that vaccine, and they'll tell you, you know, contains no egg products or safe for those with egg allergies. So when you go to get a flu vaccine, they're going to have you fill out a questionnaire. And on those questions are going to be things like, are you allergic to eggs? Are you allergic to, have you ever had a reaction to a flu shot before? So they're going to screen you for those things. And if that's the type of flu vaccine they have, they won't give it to you. But yes, some actually do have a contraindication for people that are allergic to eggs.
And I guess one of the biggest question is, I heard Dawn Webster talking about getting flu shots the other day, and I'm just kind of putting it off. How long can someone put it off?
So you can actually get a flu shot all the way into the winter months. So as late as January, February is really the latest that we would recommend waiting. But the earlier you get it, the better, because essentially we don't know when it's going to start. We've already actually been seeing cases of the flu. So the sooner the better in terms of that, because it does take a couple weeks for it to fully work. And when it comes to waiting, the longer you wait, not only are you increasing your risk for getting the flu or getting more sick from the flu, but you're also increasing your risk of, you know, the complications.
And I guess the other question to ask then is, besides the flu shot, are there things that we can do in order to maybe avoid the flu?
Yes. Washing your hands. Anytime you're going to sneeze, cough, touch your face, eat, just make sure you're washing your hands. Truly, hand hygiene is by far the most important thing that you can do to prevent any type of illness. And then also, if you're not feeling well, stay home. I think that that's one thing COVID did teach us. There's no reason to go to work with a fever or to send your kids to school with a cough, a runny nose, a fever. When they're not feeling well, you really do want to stay home and give yourself time to rest, recuperate, and then also not spread the disease and the germs that you have.
And if we get the flu, what do we do?
So most people can fight off the flu on their own with just supportive measures, which are Tylenol and Motrin for aches, increase in fluids, taking it easy, getting lots of rest. But if that's not the case, if you're getting worse, not better, if you can't get your fever under control, if you can't control the cough, then you really do need to go to the doctor to get checked. There are flu medications that we can give you that can help shorten the duration of your flu symptoms. And we do try to save those for the people that may be immunocompromised or have underlying conditions like asthma or bronchitis or COPD. But honestly, if you're not feeling like you're improving after a couple days or you're getting worse, then really the best thing is to go get checked.
And how do we know that it's really the flu?
So you really can't know without the test, because unfortunately, flus, colds, COVID, they all have very, very similar and overlapping symptoms. So the only way to know for sure is to truly go and get the testing done.
Dawn, what else do we need to know?
Well, I guess that, you know, what it comes down to is, again, prevention's best. So get that flu shot if you can. And then also, you know, wash your hands, hand hygiene, make sure you're isolating yourself if you're sick, and try to keep yourself healthy. So get plenty of sleep, eat a nice, well-balanced diet, take multivitamins, get exercise, and just, you know, do the best you can.
From the flu to polycystic kidney disease awareness with Dr. Herman Hernandez. Dr. Hernandez, welcome. We're going to talk about polycystic kidney disease. September is Polycystic Kidney Disease Awareness Month. And first of all, can you explain exactly what that is? It sounds like a pretty daunting diagnosis.
First of all, thank you for having me here on behalf of Otsuka America Pharmaceuticals, Inc. to talk about polycystic kidney disease. It is kind of a daunting diagnosis. PKD or polycystic kidney disease. The main form of it is autosomal dominant polycystic kidney disease. It's basically a genetic condition in which the kidneys start to form cysts that over time grow in number and in size. And it can run the risk of growing so large that can take over the normal functions of the kidney.
How would someone know that they have something like that that would bring them to their doctor to say, I think there might be something wrong?
So one of the most important things is if there is somebody already in the family that has a diagnosis of PKD or of ADPKD, that would be one of the reasons to go see a doctor and say, hey, I might be at risk of having ADPKD because I have a family member. So there's a 50-50 chance of getting it from a parent who has the disease. That'd be number one. But other things would be if you have blood in the urine, frequent infections, stones, or if somebody notices on an image like an ultrasound that there are cysts in the kidney, that would be a reason to go see a kidney doctor for more information.
If someone does get the diagnosis, then what happens next? Is this surgical? Are there drugs that you can take? What would be the next course?
It would be very important to seek the treatment with a nephrologist so that they can come up together with a management plan over time. And a lot of it has to do with adopting a healthy lifestyle, choosing the right kind of diet, and, you know, exercise, controlling blood pressure. All the things that we do to reduce the risk of chronic kidney disease progressing to what we call kidney failure requiring dialysis. So there's a lot of management strategies, and a lot of these questions can be answered by looking at a very useful website called kidneyquestions.com that goes through how to assess the risk, and also a lot of the resources that are available in this website, kidneyquestions.com.
You mentioned having a member of the family who may already have been diagnosed with this prior, so that would make other family members more aware. Are there others who may be more predisposed to this than other people?
Not necessarily, but there are certain conditions that may mask a diagnosis of ADPKD. So for example, if somebody has diabetes or high blood pressure, a lot of times the kidney disease might be ascribed incorrectly to those diagnoses because they tend to be more common. So getting a picture of the kidneys with an ultrasound to make sure that there's no cysts would be important in those patients.
And you mentioned good nutrition and taking care of yourself. Dr. Hernandez, that is just in so many areas that if you kind of do that, but in this case, is there, since if there is a familial who has had this before, is it going to happen? Or because again, you know, we all say take care of yourselves, but sometimes you just can't skirt around these things.
Sure. And that's why I like to encourage people to really take ownership of their own health and try to be proactive. It certainly does make a difference in terms of adopting healthy eating habits, to maintain kidney health. So again, take a proactive approach can make a difference. And also assessing one's risk of progression of the disease is important. Again, a lot of these issues can be addressed further in the website that I mentioned before, kidneyquestions.com.
And speaking of that, then, if someone is diagnosed with polycystic kidney disease, what would the things be that they, because I know, you know, you think of kidneys, you think of potentially having dialysis. So are there things that you can do before you get to that point, or can a surgeon go in and take out these cysts?
So that is never really recommended except for in very specific cases, but that's not usually the management strategy. The management strategy is, again, keeping a healthy lifestyle to reduce the risk of the kidney disease getting worse, especially with diet, like I mentioned, control of blood pressure, avoiding certain things that can be harmful to the kidneys. And every patient has a different risk. So a lot of times assessing the size of the kidneys can be an important clue as to how much risk an individual patient has.
Let's just veer off a little bit there, because you mentioned proper care of the kidneys. In general, and aside from the PKD, are there things that people can do in order to keep their kidneys healthy?
Absolutely. So reducing one's salt intake, sodium intake in the food, following a diet that's based mostly on whole grains, fruits, and vegetables can help manage chronic kidney disease. And also drinking, you know, adequate amounts of water and getting proper exercise can also be helpful for one's kidney.
Dr. Hernandez, anything else that you would like to mention that maybe we haven't talked about that you'd like to make sure our listeners know?
Well, I just hope that this conversation empowers your listeners about the early signs and symptoms of ADPKD and to seek assessment from a nephrologist or from a family doctor, especially if there is a family history of ADPKD. And again, encourage your listeners to go to kidneyquestions.com for more answers.
Thanks for listening to Special Edition, a weekly look at the issues in the news and the personalities shaping the stories.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.